Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us Dr. Deborah Elder, who is the Commander-in-Chief of the Rock Hill School District, and her able-bodied First Lieutenant, Kevin Madden. How you like that? I think that's pretty good. You know, we talked about this before, you know, rank and serial. So here we are. We're going to be giving you an update. Dr. Elder is celebrating her first year in office here in Rock Hill. And there's a pretty good report card. So we thought we would bring them around the table and talk about that a little bit. But first, let's do some intros for people who have not met you. Hard to believe, Dr. Elder, because I know you've been like Chicken Man. You've been everywhere, meeting people and shaking hands. But tell everybody a little bit about you.
Thank you so much. So I am 1 year and 2 days into serving Rock Hill Schools as superintendent. I've loved every single one of them. Even the hard days are good, and I'm just grateful to be here. Have spent significant time out in the community, meeting with parents, meeting with staff, meeting with community members, business, and really just getting my bearings here in Rock Hill. You know, a school district isn't just about the 24 schools, it's about the whole community. So to really effectively serve, I have to serve the whole community. So I've invested a great deal of my time in getting my bearings.
So now that you're a year into this, any surprises? I mean, was it what you thought it was going to be? Was it a little bit more than what you thought it'd be? Not as tough as you thought it was going to be?
I would say it's pretty close to what I thought it would be, honestly. You know, if you've been an educator for any amount of time, that every day is going to have a surprise, right? You can't anticipate everything that's going to happen, but you kind of know that going in. And so there have been some things that have surprised me, right. but nothing out of the realm of what you would expect.
Okay. And then I think part of what you had to do was to assemble your team.
Yes.
Of people, because you can't do all this by yourself. And you reached out and touched somebody on the shoulder. His name was Kevin Madden, who we've all got to know because of his years with York County, where he was, let's see now, he was the assistant county manager. He was also the county treasurer. Have I got that all right? Pretty
yes,
good?
Sir.
Yeah, pretty
yes,
good.
Sir.
Okay. So, but his forte, if I remember correctly, he used to audit school systems all over the place. So opportunity was knocking, and here you come.
I am. Before my time at the county, I had school district clients all over the state that I worked with, including the Rock Hill School District. So it was unexpected, but I tell you, I've been very blessed. It's been wonderful. You know, when I got to the district to be part of the team that Dr. Elder's put together has been great. And the focus on the children, the classrooms, and the community, it's very enjoyable. You know, when you work in the public sector, you get a lot of satisfaction of serving the community. And we did the same thing in the county, but it was not as direct as this. And I really appreciate that in visiting the schools and looking at what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish for the children in the schools, the community as a whole, to get this district where it should be and can be and will be back to. And, you know, the excitement, honestly, throughout the district with the vision we have right now and the work that's going into improving every day in those classrooms.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Dr. Elder. When you came in, was it what you thought it was going to be when you started looking at all the numbers? Was it more? Was it less? What's your report?
You know, I knew going into this that the school district had a strong tax base and good financial condition. The only question I had really was after building Sunset, you know, how much money did we really have set aside for capital maintenance type needs, and that was a pleasant surprise as well. There's a nice amount of money setting aside so we can take care of our facilities. So the district really, you know, in good financial condition, and I just want to make sure I do everything I can to continue that and improve where we can. So, you know, again, nothing but good things looking through the financials at the district.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that because the state of South Carolina has not yet adopted a budget. They're still playing around with it. We're now on a continuing resolution. We'll see how that works out. But they have obviously put in, you know, some things to boost the pay of teachers. But I don't think most people realize that when the state says we're going to boost the salary by $2,000 or whatever it's going to be, that's not their $2,000. Most of it is coming at the local district. True or false?
That's correct. The state every year, they hand down some, I'll say, mandates. We incorporate those mandates in our budget, and then the state funding usually does not cover those mandates. And so in the school district world, it's a different scenario than we had at the county, where at the county we were really able to live off of growth. And we're able to, when I got done with the budget over there, taxes were lower than when I got there before, which was a great thing. The school district world's not like that. Unfortunately, we're going to have to need more and more of our budget to come from the local tax base. And that's just the way we're set up. That's how school districts across the state are set up. And we always want to make sure we take as little as we need to do the job we have to do. But unfortunately, you know, just the nature of the beast in the school district world is we're going to need to raise taxes periodically. Very happy to have the first budget come out of here without a tax increase. And we're able to give raises for all the employees. And that's the goal every year. But I'm not going to be naive, and I don't want to put that out there, that we will never have to raise taxes. It's the nature of the world we live in.
I'm sure, Dr. Elder, before you got to South Carolina, you heard that this famous thing called Act 388 and what it did to the revenue to the school districts.
Wow. Definitely. And, you know, I've been in three different states now, and each state has a very different approach to funding.
Go ahead.
And so, you know, in South Carolina, there's you've got state and local, and you know, in some states, the local tax base is more designated for capital.
Right.
Here, we've got local on the operational side as well as on the capital side, and so just adjusting to how that works, the State Funding Formula Act 388. People, you know, it's been a while, but boy, people sure talk about it.
Yeah. And as somebody, one of the legislators pointed out to me, you know, the horse is already out of the barn. You're not going to reverse that. It's not going to come back. Unfortunately, when they put that in place, you know, they're going to raise the sales tax by one penny. The problem is the economy tanked, and the money just never came back.
They're originally supposed to do two pennies.
So there's Charlie. See, you wonder where Charlie is? There's Charlie right there. See? Ah, see? Hey, we've got a little reunion going on here, Deborah. Okay, so while they're reunioning over here, tell me what your first order of business has been besides getting acquainted with all the facilities and all the people and what have you.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about facilities and go back to, you asked me if there were any surprises. I do think back to my first few weeks on the job. I walked every campus with every principal and started to look around. And, you know, I had that list of superintendent change priorities that was generated by the community. And facilities was not on that list of priorities. But as I'm walking through these schools and walking the buildings and grounds, I'm looking around and I start to see, I think that facilities need to be a priority. And so we, you know, did some more digging once Kevin came on board and had a facility study. We have 58% of our school buildings are over 50 years old. And for those of you who don't know, generally the threshold for public buildings is about 40 years. And schools are very high usage. You have a lot of people come through every single day. And so that has been an emerging priority. So we're looking at our capital maintenance needs over time. And we're also looking at schools that are over that 50-year threshold and looking at what do we need to do.
Boy, oh boy, that's a tall order.
Well, it is, but, you know, kids deserve a good learning environment, and teachers and staff deserve a great place to go to work. And so we have work to do to make that happen for them, and that will help to elevate the whole district as well, and help us improve our enrollment.
So when we talk about facilities, are we talking about buildings that just flat out need to be raised and replaced, or are they buildings that can be upfitted and improved?
I think there'll be some more work done on determining exactly that. That's the work that's going to be started this fall, getting into to those questions, and that'll be done with the community and with the board step by step. You know, we have taken steps to address the capital maintenance to make sure we have funding in place for that. Just like I did at the county 10 years ago, the school board had first reading of a capital maintenance reserve fund, which will take the middleman out of our maintenance and save a lot of money for our taxpayers over the years. Second reading of that will be in the first board meeting in August, and we're going to have a couple of community meetings to talk exactly about that and why we're doing that, so the community understands that we're going to prioritize making sure we take care of our taxpayer-bought assets, and we're going to do it in the most efficient and cost-effective manner as well. So I'm excited about those meetings, anxious to talk about what we're doing financially to make sure we're keeping our schools where they need to be, as well as keeping as much money in our taxpayers' pockets as possible.
But there's only so much you can do without going to the bond market and getting a referendum approved and all that kind of stuff.
When you get into building a new schools, you know, undoubtedly that's, you know, very difficult to do without issuing bonds.
Yeah.
The school district was able to build Sunset without issuing bonds. So it's possible, but we've got a lot of work to do to go through again and assess what exactly are our needs, when what in the community and the board are going to, you know, be hand in hand in going through that and figuring out the best way to approach that, because it's a big task. And how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so we're going to work through that process. We've started that internally, and you're going to see more and more of that. And pretty soon, you know, it's going to be a weekly process, weekly meetings. Everybody's going to be involved is the goal. As much input as we can from community and the board, that's the best way to make sure we get the right decisions, whatever those might be.
Well, all we have to do is to take a look at the neighboring school district, Fort Mill. It's been one bond referendum after another, after another, after another, to build what they've had to build to take care of their growth and their population. And, you know, we talked about this before. I can remember when you first came here, Dr. Eldred. You know, we have to change the mindset of a lot of people, you know, not only those who are in the classroom, that's where it starts, but also the community in terms of what really is going on inside the school system. And I know you, that's paramount in your mind.
Well, raising that bar really is where we're headed with all of the systems that we've put in place this last school year, whether it's financial, whether it's organizational or academic. Really raising the bar is our theme.
And we are going, in terms of the classroom, let's deal with that. You know, I can remember, I said, you're going to get your lieutenants. I was using that military thing. I said, no, it's not lieutenants. It's, you know, my principals. Have you got those in place, all those where you want them?
I do. We have 9 new principals this year. I had some principals who moved into executive director positions, specifically to help me look at the system from the district side out, to be able to become more school focused, more service oriented, and more student focused. And who better to help me do that than people who have been serving as principals in schools? So that created some openings. Then we looked at our assistant principals, who are primed and ready and capable, and did a lot of promoting from within. So a lot of people got promotions this year.
I can remember also a year ago, and you're smiling at this, I remember asking you what your expectations were of your lieutenants or your principals. And basically what you were saying is, we're going to come up with a program. That program will be implemented. It will be implemented by everybody, because that's how we're going to run this school system. And from what I'm hearing in the community, that's exactly what is happening. And maybe I was a doubting Thomas, but here we are a year later, and you apparently have been able to do it. Good for you.
Well, we are well on our way. I think, again, raising that bar and keeping the classrooms at the center of all that we do, supporting teachers, supporting kids, supporting the leaders that serve them, and then building the district around that through line to student outcomes.
Got to ask you about the cell phones. Has that helped out in terms of classrooms in terms of taking those things away?
Definitely. It has, the cell phone policy has been a huge help. I know Rock Hill was the first in the state to take that on. Implementation significantly improved this year. You know, it's one thing to pass a policy. It's another thing to do the work to make it actually happen. I won't pretend that students don't try everything they can to try to sneak some little bit of cell phone time in during the day. But in general, I think we've made great strides in implementation and will continue to do so. Kids need to be looking up and speaking to each other. And when you go into our courtyards, our high school courtyards at lunchtime, they are talking to each other. And I can't tell you how many schools I've been in other places where that is not the case. It's silent because their heads are down and they're buried in their phones. So that is not the case in our Rock Hill High Schools.
Well, you know, if anybody ever wants to know what really is coming out of a school system, all they have to do is to go to graduation and listen to the amount of scholarships that are awarded every year. I mean, I was blown away when I went to one years ago. We're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. And it told me that the platform to get a good education is there. The question is, can you get more people motivated to take advantage of that? And therein, I guess, lies a challenge, because kids are kids. And if they don't have support outside of the school to do what they need to do while they're in school, you're not going to get the end result that you'd hope to get, correct?
Well, I think our kids have a lot of options. And one of the major initiatives we're going to be hanging our hat on this upcoming year is for high school. What we want for our kids to do is graduate, one, with a diploma. So, one, we need to improve our graduation rate. We have too many kids who don't make it to the finish line. That's going to become an intense focus this year, because if they don't finish high school, we know that their prognosis for their future is not good.
Right.
So we need to get more kids to the finish line. When they get that diploma needs to be highly sought after. So I want college fair people, I want military, I want job fair, I want people to see Rock Hill kids coming and stand up, because they want them, because they know that our diploma means that kids are future ready. So on the one hand, I want them to have that highly sought after diploma. In the other hand, I want them to have something else. So that something else could be a lot of different things. That something else could be a work-based learning experience. It could be an industry-recognized credential. It could be dual credit, advanced placement. It could be a seal of biliteracy. It could be international baccalaureate. But I want them to have their diploma and something else so that they are future ready when they walk the stage, because our kids are competing with kids from not just South Carolina but the entire country for positions in good careers in the military and in colleges.
And you've got an arrangement now with with the Winthrop University over here for dual enrollment.
We sure do, yes. So we have dual enrollment with Winthrop, with York, and with USC Lancaster. So we have, our kids can graduate from high school with up to 36 hours of college credit from Winthrop. They can also graduate from USC Lancaster or York.
York Technical
with
College.
York Tech with a high school diploma and an associate's degree.
And that's something.
So additionally, we have the ATC. They can graduate with their high school diploma and industry-recognized credentials, ready for work when they cross the stage.
Boy, has high school come a long way since I was there, I can tell you that.
Very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All right. We're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Okay, we are here for one reason, and one reason only, not to dispense knowledge, but to enjoy fresh subs and salads, which we do 6 days a week here at Substation 2. Yeah, that's right, you're about ready. We're going to tell everybody what the heck we're doing here. It's in the white letters, and at the count of three, we're all going to do it together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, direct with the superintendent of the Rock Hill School District, Dr. Deborah Elder, the chief financial officer, Kevin Madden. Good old Kevin Madden. Mr. CPA Kevin Madden. Let's do it that way, right? CPA. All right. Everybody's got initials except me. I got no initials.
Mister. You got Mister.
Mister. Okay. Thank you. So before we get out of this program, you have just finished a big summer reading program for the Rock Hill School District.
We did.
Tell me about that.
This morning we had over 250 students finish up their 16 days of summer reading program. Students came from all of our elementary schools, all 14 of them. The program was hosted at Cherry Park because it's in the middle of town. And our students, every single one of them, improved their reading. Some made leaps and bounds. Some made shorter leaps and shorter bounds, but every single one of them improved their reading in the last 16 days. They finished up the program with a beautiful music program, and every single family left with a book pack of reading material for kids to work on in the next 32 days until school starts. Good. And so they left with the books have videos to help the parents help the children at home, and so they all left with their own personalized book packs that are right where they're at with their reading and will help them advance. So 32 days from now, they'll hit the door ready for the next grade. So first, second, and third graders.
And maybe next year we can take 250 and make it 350.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good. So speaking of that, you got a brand new school calendar, which is in mode right now. It's working. Everybody seems to be happy with this. I can't believe we're going to be going back to school here. August 4th?
Something? 32 days, yes. 32 I'm counting.
It is counting.
I can't wait.
What do you see as the biggest benefits of that?
You know, the feedback on the calendar has been tremendous. You know, the decision was made to go to the modified calendar before I stepped in. Mm-hmm. And I had never operated under a calendar like that before. And I thought, well, let's see how it goes. We'll get feedback along the way. Really, what the calendar does is it takes your weeks of summer and it spreads them out a little bit. So we have a week-long fall break in October. We have regular winter break, the 2 weeks.
Right.
And then we have a week-long break in February. And we still have the traditional spring break in the spring.
Right.
And so just spreads those summer weeks out throughout the year, and it's been a huge hit with families. Parents seem to really like having the time with their kids. Teachers love it. Right before they start to get tired and burned out, boom, they have a week off.
Yeah.
Right? And they come back refreshed and ready to go. So it has been a huge hit.
Just to, if you talk about burnout, just think if you had, 35, 40 kids in your classroom every day, all day long. Yeah, you could burn that quickly. So you came up with a system here, Kevin Madden, sorry, about how to make the teachers really happy by paying them on a more regular basis. Tell me about that.
Well, I do not get credit for that. This was something
I tried
when I talked to Dr. Elder early on. This was, you know, from the board, and Dr. Elder wanted to do everything we could, you know, for our district employees. And a lot of our district employees, particularly when you're starting, you'd go 6 weeks before you saw any money. Just not the right thing to do. I knew it was possible, and so when I got to the district, worked with Bobby Barnes, he's the executive finance director, to make sure that we were able to get that implemented for this July. And Bobby worked his butt off with the payroll group to make sure we had everything in place to execute that. So very excited to see, you know, everybody's going to have money hit their bank account July 10th and then again on the 25th. And, you know, there's been some questions raised about that. Oh, what do I do if I've got my bills set on the 25th? Well, you're still going to get just as much money by the 25th. You just get half of it 15 days earlier. So a good thing for the employees and really just the right thing to do. And happy to play my part in getting that executed.
So we're paying them twice a month.
Yes, sir.
Versus what did it used
Once
to be?
Once a month.
Oh, my. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, we talked a little bit about the Capital Reserve Fund, which is a big deal because you've got lots of projects that need to be done that you're going to be prioritizing, you know, here in August to try to figure out how to do this. But reasonably, I mean, gosh, if you looked at all the facilities, which you have, I mean, percentage-wise, can half of them be fixed? I mean, can the facilities just be, you know, remodeled and be okay for another 10 or 15 years and the other half just have to be torn down? Do you have any idea at all?
I'm not interested in tearing down schools or making unilateral decisions in that area by any means.
Yeah.
However, at minimum, students deserve a safe and healthy place to learn and adults a safe and healthy place to work. But I think that there's a lot that we can do to elevate our facilities. Some of our older facilities may be able to be remodeled. That's not for me to decide. I'm not an architect, right? So we need to bring people in who are experts in the field to help inform those decisions. No decisions will be made about schools unilaterally by any means. And all of it will be transparent, and we'll bring everybody along into those conversations. But
now, what about the decisions that were made prior to you getting here on closing some of these elementary schools? I go by one every day, Finley Road Elementary School. Is that building going to be, do you see that building being used again in the future for some reason, or are you going to sell it? What are you going to do with it?
It is being used. We use it for training, and we actually, law enforcement uses it for training as well. So, in general, I don't think it's a good strategic business decision for a school district to sell property. I think that we need to, whatever land we have, this is my opinion. This does not reflect the district as a whole or the board, but strategically, nobody has a crystal ball for what will happen in the future, right? So for us to keep land and maintain property, I think is important because Rock Hill at some point could explode in population, and if we sell property that we're not using right now just because we're not using it now, that doesn't mean that people 30 years from now in our seats won't need it.
Yeah. They're not making any more land.
Correct.
No.
So you're smart to do that. Okay. Well, you've passed your one-year fitness report. You've done okay. I'm going to keep you for another year. All right.
Thank you.
Don't know about him yet. He's still too new. But
no,
we'll
figure. He's
in. He's great. Okay. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Happy 4th of July to all of you. Go celebrate 250 years of a thing called freedom that everybody needs to appreciate. That's right. God bless America. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. And by the way, Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, will be closed on Saturday to observe the 4th. All right? So get twice as much today and tomorrow. All right? How we do what we do is in the white letters at the count of three. Everybody join in. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.